For days now about just standing, doing all to stand, just doing all that you know to do. And then I'm convinced of this, if you'll stand, he'll show you what the next step is to do. He'll give you the next step, the next direction. Amen. Thank God for God. Amen. Praise God. Well, open your Bibles this morning up to Deuteronomy. Thank you so much, praise team. Let's give them a hand today. Haven't they been a blessing today? Thank you all so much. Thank you all so much. What a great job they do. Open your Bibles up to Deuteronomy.
Oh, honey, Deuteronomy. We're still continuing our family values series, our family series. We've been talking about marriage. And today, we're going to talk about some things that Beth and I have learned over the years about our children and raising our children and how to keep, you know, if you're here and you're single or if you're a single parent or maybe you don't have children, you still can utilize what we're going to share here with you about being a grandparent. You can utilize it to learn when you do get married and have children, how to help that situation to keep your marriage strong. But let's read the word here. Could everybody please stand up with me in Deuteronomy 11:19. Everybody, let's pray this out loud. Say this out loud with me. Say, Father, I'm exercising my faith, and I am believing you that in this service something will be taught, something will be caught that will help my life, in my relationships with my children, with my grandchildren, with my great-grandchildren, and those that are around me. I open my heart now to receive revelation and wisdom from your word. I need it, Lord. I need a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So I am believing you now. As we get into the word, it'll be imparted to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let me read this scripture to you here in Deuteronomy 11:19. It says, and you shall teach them your children, talking about the statutes of God. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And I think, if you want to know the truth about it, that's about all the time, isn't it? Amen. Let's read that once again. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by your way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Amen. Amen. Everybody say amen. You can be seated now. Praise God. I know sometimes my kids probably get tired of me talking about the Lord and the Word when they were younger, but you do it anyway. Some of y'all wouldn't be sitting in church if your mamas and daddies hadn't been talking about the Word all the time. Amen. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Amen. So Beth and I want to talk to you about just 10 things. Hopefully we'll have time to get through all 10 of them here. And we've got about 20 minutes so we can beat the Baptist to the restaurants. beat Trinity and Life Church to the restaurants. Amen. I'll have to tell Pastor Mike and I'll have to tell Pastor Bobby I said that. But 10 things that we have discovered that parents need to teach their children. Now, if you're a grandparent, you need to do the same thing. That doesn't exempt us. You know, you get around your grandchildren, you talk these things, you minister to them. And the very first thing is that we want to teach our children is to love God and His ways.
Amen.
To love God and His ways. Because, you know, our children are being attacked from every angle. Now, I'm not saying that everybody in here has to do this, but now I want to share something with you. It's probably over 10 years, I guess it was, honey, I got saved in 1979, and when I got born again, I played music in bars and stuff for, you know, 3 or 4 years, and so music was really important to me. I mean, it was like way too important to me, so I just cut it out completely, you know, as a matter of fact, one day Beth come home, and I'd taken all of my albums that I had, plus all of her albums that she had, and I'd thrown them in the garbage. Well, it would have probably been all right for me to take mine because it was my conviction. It wasn't her conviction. Amen. So we had to go around about that. But nevertheless, we threw them away. And for, I guess it was from the time our children were born, probably for 10, maybe 11 years, we didn't listen to any secular music. None. We didn't turn the secular radio station on. We quit it. We listened to worship CDs and you know, the children had certain worship things they like. Now, and as I'm talking here, please don't feel like our children were ever deprived. I think our children probably had the best life growing up. And the only thing we ask them, all three of them are here today, but we ask them one time if they ever, Rachel, where is Rachel?
She's not feeling
well. Oh, okay. But we asked them one time if they ever felt like they was deprived from anything growing up, and they just said, well, Daddy, you never took us camping, so, okay. But don't feel like our children were deprived when you hear this, because we had a good life with our children, but we just chose not to go down a carnal pathway with it. You understand what I'm saying? We chose to implement some things, and for, I guess it was 10 or 12 years, we never, when we got in the car, we didn't turn on the carnal radio stations. We didn't turn on the secular radio stations. Sometimes I'd get so tired of WFM, I just couldn't stand it anymore. But you know what? I just kept it on. We just kept it on. You know what I'm saying? We just kept it on there. And
play the same five songs over and over.
Yeah, and... But, you know, we just kept it on WFM. And see, but our goal in that was teaching our children God's love and His ways. And another thing that we did is that every service, our children were in church. It wasn't an option. Now you think, well, I just don't understand that they ought to have an option. Now listen to me. The younger your children are, the more control you have over them. Sometimes parents get this just backwards. They think if they just let them run and go wild when they're young, then the older they get, they'll be able to get control over them, but it don't work that way. Listen to me now. You wait till they're 13 and 14 and you start trying to put the control that they should have had when they were 2 or 3, it don't work that way. And I know you've got something to say, honey, about that, so go right ahead.
Well, I've got so many things running around my head. No, when it comes to respecting God in church, since you said something about
church. We felt like if they had to go to school and they had to brush their teeth, if we made them brush their teeth, and if we made them go to bed at a certain time, and we made them get up and go to school, then what would be wrong with making them get up and go to church?
Amen. You know, I even take it farther. And I've been doing this to Abby. She comes to church with me on Wednesday nights, and during praise and worship, I make her stand up, and she goes, "I'm tired." And I said, "I don't care if you're tired or not. You are standing up during praise and worship. And you need to teach your children, because you are not doing this because the praise and worship team's up here. It's not to honor them. You're not doing it because Pastor Ron may say everyone stand. You're doing it because you're honoring God in the Lord's house."
Yeah. Yes.
And so she goes, "I'm tired." And I said, "I don't care if you're tired. You can sit down later." So during praise and worship, I have her standing up. And this is the same exact thing that I did with my kids. I could care less whether everybody else's kids were sitting down. But I was teaching my kids that it was honoring God to be standing up for praise and worship. If the pastor or the praise and worship leader says, "Raise your hands," you raise your hands.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not.
And you know, we did, and the thing you have to understand, we're old enough to realize sometimes people do need to sit down. They don't feel well. They need to sit down, and we understand. We're not saying that. We're talking about children
here.
We're
talking about healthy, well, 6-year-old kids
that just, if they can roll around on the floor during the service, they can stand, and they can be at attention in regard to the things of God.
You know, this is God's way of teaching us how to be disciplined, how to be respectful of others.
Yeah.
This is just the way to learn it. And some way or sometime we got away from that.
Yeah.
And we need to come back to that.
Right, right. And I think you know, you, parents need to understand it's not... I think we came into this with the concept of thinking that if you made your children go to church or whatever, they would hate church. And really, to be honest with you, the way a lot of churches were geared, children would. But there is no, you know, there is no excuse when you've got a great children's ministry like we have, when you've got a great, when they're hearing about God on their level, there's no reason for children not to be involved in children's church and youth. Now, there's a lot of youth that need to be involved in our youth ministry. Walter and Kayla are doing a great job. I mean, last weekend, you can give them a hand clap. Yeah, amen. You know, they agreed, Walter and Kayla agreed to be interim youth pastors until we could get squared away with where we're going, and they're doing an awesome job with that. And the same principle applies for youth, you know, that you... Youth are a little bit different because, see, the older a child gets, and if you try to dominate or control a child when it gets older, it has a lot more to do with self-worth than it does with discipline. So it's better, you know, I love what Garland always says. It tickles me every time he says it. He says he wasn't, you know, a lot of people raise their children. He said, I wasn't raised, I was jerked up. And you know, we understand that a lot of people are at that point in their life where they just come into church. And we want you to know that we're not trying to put some heavy law here. We understand people are at different places. Youth are at different places. We're just trying to get you under some principles here so that as young parents and young families, maybe if you're not implementing some of these things, you can start implementing them now.
You know, one thing I think is consistency.
Yeah.
If every Sunday you bring your kids to church, they won't get up and say, oh, why do I have to go? Last Sunday we didn't go.
Right.
They'll just know on Sundays they get up and go to church.
Yeah, that's good, honey. That's good.
They just always come.
That's good.
And another thing is, when you get here, you're on time. You're not 10 minutes late or 15 minutes late because... not because of Pastor Ron, not because of the program or anything,
right,
but because you have respect and honor to the Lord that you want to get here on time. You don't get to your job 15 minutes late every day. You don't get to school every day.
That's
15
good, Beth.
Minutes late.
That's good.
You get here on time because you are honoring and respecting the Lord.
And can I say something? I think as a Living Hope Church body, as a body, I think, and I have to take... I take this full blame. I take this myself. I think we've missed that. I really believe in some degrees we are missing honoring and reverencing the Lord. I think we've been so excited about the grace message and the gospel of peace, and so many of us have come out from under law teachings, you know, that and I'm not trying to get us back under law teachings. Don't misunderstand me. You're saved by grace, but I'm just saying there's a degree there where I think maybe we have missed reverencing the Lord. And seeing, like Beth said, coming to church on time is not about the program. It's about saying, okay, the Lord has set this up. This is the Lord's doing, His building, His worship time, and we need to reverence that as much as we would getting our kids to school on time or, you know, being at work on time.
Well,
so,
the fruit of that is that when they're older, they'll get to work on time.
Yeah, that's good.
They'll have worth ethics that uh-huh. they're supposed to be somewhere at a certain time. They'll be respectful to their employer because they'll, like, if he says, "Okay, we have to stand here during this time. We have to pour this drink in this cup, this hamburger. We put in this wrapper,
right.
whatever." They'll know, okay, that's the way this place is run, just like the church uh-huh. is run, so I've got to do it that way.
And I think that's the thing a lot of people miss about church. They think church is just a place where we'll come and sing. And
they think it's a separate entity.
Yeah, we'll come and sing, and the preacher will take our offering, and then we'll hear somebody preach, and then we'll go home. But see, we're missing the whole concept of church being a place that we learn how to function out there. See, we're training our children that respect and honor, and you know that, which brings us to the next point, and we're going to have to move on. We got a lot we could say about that one, but number two that we felt like is important is to obey, honor, and requite their parents. Now, a lot of people, requite is a King James word, but it's found in 1 Timothy 5:4 that children should learn to requite their parents. That word requite means to back them up, to deliver them, to repay them, and to recompense them. That children should learn to requite their parents. Children should learn to obey and honor their parents. We raised three children, and I can remember one time we were at a restaurant in Nashville. It was one of the girls' birthdays. I think they were all maybe 12 and 10 or whatever. But anyway, one of them wanted to go to a Mexican. Cookville didn't have a Mexican restaurant then, so
can
we.
Can you believe that?
So they wanted to go to a Mexican restaurant, so we took them to a Mexican. One of our daughters, I don't remember which one it was, to a Mexican restaurant, and we were sitting in this waiting area, and the three of them were sitting in chairs, and there were some senior citizens that came in, and we didn't say a word to them. We just didn't say anything, and all three of them got up at one time and said, "You can have our seats." And now listen, I'm not saying that to brag on us. I'm saying those kids learned that in the house of God. You see, they learned that principle of honor and obeying. And when you know, like the offering that we receive for Children's Church, folks, we've got to understand there's a whole generation that's coming up. And I'm so thankful. Like, I know Marty and Kevin are here and other of you all that have worked in our children's ministry. You have to understand, these seeds that are being sown into these children, if the Lord tarries 50 years, 100 years, folks, that's going to be all this earth has got. Do you see what I'm saying here? It's not just about giving them electronic games or football games. And there's nothing wrong. We want them to enjoy life. That's one of the points we have. But we've got to remember this generation coming up, and those of you that serve in children's ministry, you have to recognize the seed of the Lord in them is all we've got. If the Lord tarries, the scripture says if the Lord had not left us seed, you children's church workers and you people that might have a desire to work in children's church, listen to this. In Romans chapter 9, it says, if the Lord had not left us the seed of His Word and learning how to honor and obey our parents and all the things in the Word, He said we would have been as Sodom and Gomorrah.
Wow.
If He had not left us seed. It is our responsibility to do something with the seed. It's our responsibility to train our children, to teach our children. And let me say this now, too. I'm on a roll here. Let me say this. I am so thankful for our children's church workers. If you have any nudge in your heart to work in children's church, by all means do that. But I'm going to tell you this. There is no church that can ever take the place of a parent. The church doesn't have the authority that the parent has. We can sow a lot of things into children to help them, but a church can never take that place. We can never take that place. So we want to remember 10 things parents teach their children. You teach your children to obey, honor, and requite your parents. Now, let me say this. If you're driving down the road and a police officer pulls you over and you got three of your grandchildren in the car, don't you dare degrade that police officer. When that police officer walks up to that door, yes, sir. No, sir. What was I doing wrong, sir? I'm sorry. Don't fight a police officer in front of your children. Because your children are going, if they need a police officer, you don't want them to see authority as bad. You don't want them to see a police officer as somebody that, well, my daddy would cuss them out. You know, you don't want that. You don't, and listen, I mean, while I'm on the subject here, your children get in trouble at school, the first person you ought not be mad at is the teacher.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, if there's a continual problem in school, don't jump on the teacher. Now, I'm not saying there couldn't be a problem with the teacher, because we've raised three children and we found that there were problems with teachers. All teachers aren't saints. Neither are all police officers. You understand? But the general rule of thumb is you look at the authority as being the one that's giving the direction first for your children. Obey, that's going to teach your children to obey and honor their parents. If they see you rebelling against authority, then they're going to rebel against authority. If they see us doing that as parents, and you know, I think that we need to recognize when we say things about people, recognize who you're saying it in front of. You know, if you leave here today and got three kids in your car, I tell you that pastor's the longest winded thing I've ever seen. All he's after is my money. I just don't even know why I go to that church. You see, I mean, understand that's what you're sowing into your children. If you feel that way about me, I can handle it. I mean, it's all right. I love you anyway. Ain't that big of a deal. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just a thing. But see, we don't want that sown into our children. We just don't want that sown into our children. Honey, I'll let you take number three there, okay?
Number three we have is to manage their money and labor is profitable.
And recognize that labor is profitable.
Uh-huh. You know, don't raise a lazy kid.
Tell them some of the things that you did with our kids when they were younger. I mean, like eight, old enough to know.
You know, I had to go full-time job, and so I'd work all week, and I had a lot of extra hours, and I'd come home, and all day Saturday I'd be doing laundry and things like that, and Sunday we'd have church, and I felt like, boy, I never have time for myself. And so Ross said, well, why don't you have them do their own laundry? And it's like, bing. So they all started learning their own doing their own laundry.
How old were they when they
were 10, something like that, yeah. But when they did, when we'd go shopping for clothes, I'd say, now this is something that you'd have to be careful washing. It might shrink. Or this is something that if you buy this, it has to be ironed. Or this is something that you have to go to take to the dry cleaners. And if you want this, you are paying for the dry cleaner, not me. I pay for the item one time, not every
week. That's a good point. That's good.
You know, just little things like that. So they know what money's about. Even when... I can remember Rachel was real little, and at every school year they get a new pencil box, and you know it would cost, let's say, $1.50. Well, she wanted Hello Kitty or something, and that was $4.50, and we had a tight budget. And I said to her, I said, okay, I'll give you the $1.50. You take the rest of the money from your allowance, and then you can purchase your Hello Kitty pencil box. She said, no, I don't think so. Hello Kitty pencil box wasn't as important when she was using her money as it was when she was using my money. You know, so there's little things that you can do to teach kids the value of
money. And one thing we always did, too, is, you know, if... And we gave them an allowance. I mean, they did do chores, you know.
But they didn't do the chores for the money.
No.
They were just like I don't fix dinner for an allowance.
Right. So
I fix dinner because you're my family.
Right.
They didn't make their bed or take their shoes out of the den upstairs because they were getting money. They were doing that because this was their
is our family.
And it was our family.
And one of the things we did, we taught them to tithe. You know, we taught them whatever they get, whatever money they get, we encourage them to tithe on that money. And you know, when you start an 8-year-old tithing, you know, time they're 20-year-old, it's not that big of an issue, you know. So you want to teach them to respect God with their money, you know, honor God with their money. And you know, our kids, like I think Rachel was 14 years old, and she already had a passion and a desire to go on a missions trip. She went to Venezuela and to Jamaica. Is it anywhere else? No, she went to those two on missions trips. But see, I'm convinced at 14 years old, we could have never let that happen if the training from 8 to 14 hadn't been there. Do you see what I'm saying? Or from childhood to 14. So you want to teach them to honor their money and listen. There's nothing wrong with the 16-year-old or 15-year-old getting a job. My mom and dad are here. I'm telling you, my dad would take me and my brother when we were 12 years old, and we mowed yards. You know, there's nothing wrong with teaching your children to work.
They have more value for what they have if they've earned it.
Proverbs 14:23 says, labor is profitable unto all.
Yes.
I believe my daddy would whoop me yet. I'm telling you, I believe he whooped me yet. If you know, you'd say, well, I don't want to mow the yard. Well, he didn't care if I wanted to mow the yard. The yard needed mowing. You know, when you're a teenager, when you're young and you're around like that, you do your part to help your family. It's your family.
Yes.
You see, and that's what we need to instill into the children, is that they are not just functioning so that something is good for them. They are functioning for our family. If they leave their shoes in the living room, like Beth said, we're teaching them, okay, you pick up your shoes because this is our family. If we have company, we don't want everybody's clothes laying around in the living room. And you see, you're instilling something within them. Listen to this now. Bigger than themselves.
Yes.
It's something more about, something to life more than them.
Yes.
And there is something to life more than them. Amen? All right. Honey, you want to say anything?
Not all friendships work out. That's the next one. But love never fails. And, you know, children, I can remember this little girl was a friend of Rachel's one week, but she didn't want her to be a friend with anybody else. And then next week she'd drop Rachel and get another little girl. And I'd say, Rachel, don't worry about it. But when you're friends with somebody, you're friendly with everybody. You just don't pick one child and be their friend only. Friends are a blessing. The more you have, the better off you are. And so, you know, don't try to teach them against cliques. They can have friends that they're more involved with or closer with, but not to be divisive against other people just
no.
because they're on the football team and you're not, or you know, chess club or whatever you're into, just because they're not doing what you're doing, nothing's wrong.
I think the key word there to watch out for is divisiveness.
Yeah.
If they start sowing divisiveness, that's where you need to end that or stop that. Don't let them divide each other or friends or whatever. They can have a special group of friends that they run with, but the minute they start thinking they're better than other people, that's when the parents need to come in and say, no, you're not. And we're not having that type of environment where we are cliquish or whatever. But, you know, if you would let them realize that you can have friends, but you don't have to, you know, love never fails. We taught them that love never fails. And if those friendships don't work out, it doesn't mean they have to be mean or hateful to people. Okay?
And you know, when they have more than one little group of friends, there's less peer pressure because you don't always have to
yeah,
do what
exactly.
that little group does. If that's uncomfortable to you, you can go do what this group's doing.
Right. Exactly.
Well, that helps out too.
This is number five. We'll have to finish up next week, but we'll finish on this one today. We taught them to respect the elderly and, listen to this, animals.
Amen.
Don't, if you see your child being cruel to an animal, you do something about it immediately. Because that's just simply a behavior that will take over in their life in regard to people and elderly or whatever. And if a child is abusive to an animal, there's a frustration in them that, you know, there's just a frustration that needs to be dealt with. There's something in them that needs to be dealt with if they're disrespectful to elderly people. That sounds weird.
No, you know,
elderly people and animals, I'm not putting them in the same category.
No.
Y'all understand what I'm saying, right?
No, when I worked at the DA's office, if somebody abused an animal, that was the next step, that they'd start abusing children. And then, you know, just working up the ladder. But that, if they were, outrageously mean, cruel, or did something, you know, deadly to an animal, their next step is a human. So you need to nip it in the bud.
Nip that. And let me say this in closing. There is a scripture in Proverbs. I can't remember where it is right now, but it says that a wise man loves his animals and cares for them and takes care for them and watches over them. So if a wise man would do that for an animal, we know that a child should not be allowed to abuse another child or an elderly person or whatever. You know, children need to learn, and I think we've done a really good job in regard to Abby when she was little. You know, little kids love to run around, but we would teach her when she was around Pa or she was around Beth's mother, no, you don't run. You don't act rambunctious around people that could fall or maybe hurt themselves. See, and what you're doing, you're instilling something in them that is bigger than themselves. All right? All right, well, let's close here because it's lunchtime. And Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that we can gather here together in the name of Jesus, and that, Father, we are learning. We're a congregation, Lord. We're designed to learn. We understand we don't know and have all the answers. But, Lord, we expect you, you said in your word, to come and learn of you, that your yoke was easy and your burden was light. So, Father, we're just asking you for that wisdom. And, Lord, I pray that if there's any parent here that maybe hasn't implemented these principles, that they would not be condemned, but they would just begin.